All right, here we go. Welcome back to Golf Subpar. Colt Knows, Drew Stultz. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I'm not there with the sleeves. The chair is empty, but I am out at the beautiful Shadow Creek Golf Club playing a little pro-am sleeves. And I'm telling you what, we had a time today.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe at Shadow Creek you could find a way to have a good time. Give me the breakdown. Give me the format, scores, all the shit going down from Shadow Creek. Let's hear it.
Okay, so it's called the Oxford Pro-Am. It's 3 days, Shadow Creek.
It's too many days.
I got invited by a gentleman named Jeremy Kruger over Instagram. Never met the man in my life. He goes, "Hey, Colt, love you to come play Shadow Creek. I know you love the place. We don't really care what you shoot. We don't really care if you sleep. Just want you to have a good time." And I'm like, you know what? That sounds kind of fun. I'll do it. And my man Monty Montgomery said they're a rather fun time. So here we are. Met them yesterday. We teed it up today. And I was 400 through five, please. I don't know what happened. I think their expectations of me changed rather quickly. And then I proceeded not to make a birdie the last 13 holes.
Set the bar a little too high. Rookie move. Rookie move. Good start, though. Good start, though, by the way.
Four through five.
I wouldn't worry. Yeah, he made four tweets. Nice. He made four tweets, dude. It doesn't matter where they come from. This is glorious, by the way. The blind date pro-am, just slide in the DMs, fired out. Let that be a lesson to everyone listening. If you want to play in any sort of a tournament, pro-am, member guest, all this shit, just fire Colt to DM. Bam, first thing smoking, he's there.
Well, I'm not going to like Indiana or anything. If you invite me to Shadow Creek, I'm available.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit easier. But don't let that deter you if you're out there and you got anything. Even if you're in the Northeast or anything like that, just send it over and bam, you got a partner. But how's the Ronda Rita intake? God, I'm envious.
I'm currently in the locker room right now. I have not had one Ronda Rita yet, but we just finished. So that's about to start. You can't, the Ronda Ritas during golf is rather difficult.
They're aggressive. Truth be told, it's a one and done scenario for the Ronda Rita. If you go to two, you're teetering in dangerous, dangerous waters. But I trust you'll have a good time. 3 days up there. That's a shitload. If I don't ever talk to you ever again, it's been a hell of a run. But enjoy yourself up there. Did you get to watch the beatdown at Bay Hill, as they're calling it? We got the answer to the question, what happens if Scotty putts good? It's been a while since we've seen it, and now we got the answer. Nobody touches him is the answer.
I mean, we were texting on Sunday. Like, it's just so ridiculous how good this guy is. I mean, just laps the field. On our SiriusXM show, I took Scotty this week. I just like, look, this is a very difficult golf course. Ball striking is very important. Nobody on the planet hits it anywhere close to this guy. Give me Scottie Scheffler. And he went out, and I mean, he was the favorite, and he showed why. He's won there before. He's won there again. And it was a rout. I mean, even when he plugs in a bunker, he gets the damn thing up and down. It's just, he is so much better than everyone else right now. It's 1 week.
Yep.
But if the putting continues like that, the rest of the golf world has a big problem ahead of him.
You know how you know a guy is like head and shoulders above the rest is when he's a contemporary, like Scottie Scheffler is right now, and you got guys that are right behind him in the world golf rankings, like a Rory McIlroy. Wyndham Clark said the same thing. I think Wyndham's quote was like, if he putts like this, if he's positive strokes gained putting going forward, like it's borderline unfair. And this dude, this is a current player. This ain't like Tiger back in 2000 they're talking about. It's a current dude, and Rory was basically saying that same thing. Who is this individual creeping up on the screen right now?
Come on in here. This is the guy right here.
Yeah. This is the blind date right here?
Well, I'm Jeremy.
Your face is not in the...
Anyways, you got a team next year.
Can you get your face in it at least?
I got to see the man.
Is that Andy Reid? Are you playing with Andy Reid? Holy shit. Congrats on the Super Bowl, dog.
You fought with Georgie Chu and a couple of my good buddies from Winnipeg. You're not like, it doesn't matter how you golf. You're going to have an awesome time this year.
Yeah, you can tell he's drank a lot of water today.
Book it.
It's all, we're going to start this out day one. We're coming in mildly hot.
We were mildly hot. Mildly hot.
I'd say mild to medium. Just half a jalapeno, no seeds.
Jalapeno. He's Canadian as shit. Jalapeno.
That's my guy right there.
No, we had an awesome time. He's with we're a bunch of ham and eggers from Winnipeg, but we're nice guys.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. I can tell it from the jump.
Thank you for making a little celebrity guest.
Yeah, that's it.
That's beautiful. That's all I needed you to do.
I thought you had a twin, a clone, and the bottom half of his face showed up. I was like, what? There's two Colts?
No, he's way older, way not as good as looking as me, but whatever.
He looks like Andy Reid. He looks like a spot-on image of Andy Reid, by the way.
Jeremy, he just said you look like Andy Reid. That's beautiful. I mean, that's a good comparison, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back to Scottie Scheffler.
Back to golf.
Unbelievable.
Good cameo, though.
I mean, the guy is just, if he continues to putt average, it shows like what he has done. It's special. There's a reason he's the number one player in the world. Whether you like the world golf rankings or you hate him, there's no doubt who the best player in the world is right now.
Yeah, that's not debatable. I went back, and this is courtesy of our guy, Justin Ray, who without him, we wouldn't know any stats in the world. Shout out Justin Ray. Fourth time, Colt, since 2022, that Scotty's gained four shots or more on the field putting. Results in those four wins. So it's like legitimately, it sounds stupid to say, and you say it like, oh, if this guy putts good, he'll never lose. Well, like, legitimately, that's kind of the case with Scotty. And I don't know if this will continue, but he doesn't have to putt it like that. He just has to be average. And I thought the most impressive thing, Colt, in his round last on Sunday, A, he did it with the lead. B, he hit every single type of shot. Having shot tracer for Scotty is the best thing that ever happened because you can see the low stingers, you see the high draws, high fade. Like, any shot, he takes it on and he hits the appropriate shot. But when he does, once in a blue moon, miss a shot, his short game is disgusting. Like the plugged bunker shot where the one hop boom plugs. I was like, oh, this could be a bogey. Maybe things flip. Windham had a good look for birdie on the next hole right after that. Nope. Hits it dead. Chips it dead almost every time. And when he didn't on Sunday, he made the like 8-footer that he needed the one time he needed it, basically. I mean, it's just there's no weakness. And I don't want to just bang the drum over 1 week, but like we've been talking about it for a long time with what he's done, tee to green. It's so special. And now you see, like, here's what happens when it all comes together. And I don't know that he can be beat by anybody in the game if he plays the way he just did at Bay Hill.
It's pretty shocking he hasn't won in 51 weeks since last year's players. But we all knew it was coming. I mean, you just can't keep doing what Scotty does. Put yourself in position week after week after week and not get it done. You go to a golf course where you actually do have to hit it really good. You have to hit fairways. You have to hit greens. You can't just slap it around, and it's not a putting contest. You can't beat him, and he won by five. It's so impressive, man. I love the kid. He's so good for the game of golf as well. But he just once again proved why he is the best player in the world. It's not even close.
Yeah, and we talked about his ball striking all last year. Like, how long can you keep this going? I mean, it's basically only Tiger Woods has ever been better tee to green. Can you sustain this for a while? And like, he hasn't taken a step back at all. So if this new mallet is the answer and this is going to be the new norm, or even if it's just close to the new norm, problems. Because just like you said, the harder the golf course, the more it emphasizes ball striking tee to green, the bigger the advantage Scotty has. And that's virtually all the major championships. So I don't want to anoint him as a grand slam this year, but he's going to be fucking hard to beat.
I mean, can we just go ahead and engrave his name on the U.S. Open trophy? I don't know what year is going to go next to it, but eventually he's going to win whenever it's the hardest.
Or just all of them. Like what the British, I mean, he can hit it knee high if he needs to. It's just all really, really good right now. Appreciate Scotty Scheffler for the moment because I don't know how long. It could last for forever. It could last another week. I don't know, but it's really damn good right now.
I just thought, I mean, he just set the tone right out of the gate Sunday. Just sent it right over the corner on a tough, difficult driving hole. Hit it to 12 feet, bird right out of the gate. I'm like, this is pretty much done. And by the way, you owe me 100.
I do. I took Wyndham Clark. I was a little inebriated at the time. I feel like that was a bit of a flyer that the sleaze took, but I was feeling good about myself, feeling good about Dub. Took a 2-1 on that with a deficit going in the last round. Ill advised. But yeah, that's coming right to you, dude. I'll get you that right when you get back. No problem.
You win some, you lose some. And speaking of winning some, me and my man Chris Demon did win the member at Whisperrock.
I was wondering how long it would take to get to that. I was just going to let it linger. I was going to let it linger. But no, we'll give you the props you deserve. Congratulations. Member, forever immortalized at the Rock. Congratulations. It's good to have you aboard. How's it feel, dude?
I didn't want to bring it up because I don't want to donate to the self-suck jar. But
it's
overflowing. I sit here, I have to interview you every year after you finish second at the four ball. And me and my man get a win, and you're not even going to bring it up.
I was going to bring it up, but I wanted to see if we got through the first segment before the interview. I was 100% going to bring it up, but I wanted to let you bring it up. Congratulations to you. You did it coming out of the top flight. A lot of dogs up there. Your boy Demon, by the way, stepped up in the shootout, hit it in there fairly tight. I don't know how close it was, but pretty damn good. Good enough for you guys to advance. And yeah, we had a lot of people. I didn't know who I wanted to come out of that flight, honestly. It was like a win. It was a win-win or a lose-lose. I was like, there's nobody out of all these teams that I want to win this. But I'll be happy that five of them lose.
Yep. I'm with you. Yeah. I didn't think we had a chance, to be fair. My man made a 12-footer for par net birdie on our last hole against the Doctor and Bryce Mulder. Oh. And I had no idea what it was for. We finished. Our man Patrick Stolpe, Sunshine, he goes, that just won y'all the flight. I go, are you kidding me? He goes, no. He goes, y'all just won. Y'all are in the shootout. I was shocked. Demon steps up, hits it to 10, 12 feet on the first hole of the shootout. I make it. Three of us advance. Go back to 83 yards. I have to hit it. I hit it in there, stony, baloney, and man made it, and we win. It was I'm so happy for Chris. Obviously, you know, don't want to sell.
And for myself,
too much.
Yeah, mostly happy
lot.
For me.
I won
but
a
Chris
lot my
did.
Day.
He needed one. I wanted him to feel what it felt like to be a champion. By the way, he said zero words after the win. He stayed on brand. He didn't get all happy and tell everyone about it. We were trying to get a speech out of him. He won't even, I mean, just zero words. Never seen a softer spoken individual than Chris Demon. That's why you guys mesh well. Between the two of you, there's the appropriate amount of words being said in every match.
You know, I don't like to agree with you, but I will right now. Mm-hmm. It was great. He was very humble in victory, but I think we're working on getting Dylan Wu off the cover of the magazine this year for Club Champion and putting me and Demon on there.
Yeah, yeah, that Dylan Wu loss still stinging me to this day. But if things hold true, he will be the cover boy next year. But well-deserved win. I'm proud of you. That was a hell of a job and a way to hold down the fort, dog. Congrats on the paint.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
You got it.
That's actually like my real first paint up at Whisper Rock, which is cool because I know you got a lot of those paintings. This is my first.
Yeah, put it up. Put it up. Show that thing proudly, dude. They're hard to come by. Hard to come by.
All right, well, let's get to our interview this week because this is a special one, man. Like, I love college golf. The game has changed so much with NIL, the facilities these people have, and we go take an in-depth look at Arizona State and their facility down at Papago. This place is unbelievable. I'm so jealous. Like, as a college kid, to have a facility like that, you show up, they bring you lunch every day at noon. You got the best facility in the world. It's just, it's heaven. And we get to, if you got to watch on YouTube so you can see an in-depth look at it. But we also sit down with Coach Matt Thurman, who is one of the best coaches in the country. He's got a hell of a squad down there. And it was a lot of fun, Sleaze.
Yeah, without question. You got to watch the YouTube to do this thing justice. Look at the facilities. Look at where the kids get to play, practice all day. But it's a different animal than when you and I were in college. That's for sure. And we'll recap this at the end. But definitely check out that YouTube and see what you're missing if you're not in college right now and a world-class player.
I mean, if you take a recruiting trip to Arizona State and you don't go, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So if you're a young kid that's really good at golf, I highly recommend going to Arizona State. They got great facilities. Nice scenery, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
But let's get to it. Here's Coach Thurman on Golf Subpar.
All right, we are now joined by one of the best golf coaches in all of college golf. He's coached countless All-Americans, been National Coach of the Year, Ben Hogan Award winners, not to mention as a player, 1994 Western Athletic Conference Freshman of the Year, Coach Matt Thurman. How are you, buddy?
Everyone always says one of the best, and I don't... At some point, hopefully I'll do something that somebody somewhere will say the best.
Hands down, unequivocally, well, the greatest.
You know, we'll see.
By the way, you have two WAC Freshman of the Year sitting
Yeah,
right
don't.
Here.
Oh. You thought I did, forgot about you as a player. That 94 WAC Freshman of the Year people still talking about.
It was coming down to the wire, and I made a putt on the last and got the award.
Who'd you nudge out for Freshman of the Year?
You know who I nudged out? Will Collins.
Oh, yeah. Still
Mexico,
going, I believe.
Right?
Yeah, maybe. Ryan Murphy, Texas women's coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
they had
honestly,
no chance.
I don't even know if that's true.
No
actually.
Chance. Just make up name. Yeah. Tiger Woods. Ever heard of him?
Gilberto Morales.
give us a little breakdown. If you were being an analyst right now about you as a player, what was your game like?
Johnny Miller once called me the Lauren Roberts of college golf. That's I made everything.
Okay.
Boss of the
but I couldn't keep it on the planet.
Really?
Played with great passion and energy and just loved the game. Great chipper and putter. Highly emotional.
When you say passion and energy, I was going to say, does that mean you have a
highly
temper?
Highly emotional. I can control myself well now. On a basketball court or a pickleball court, I don't control myself. But for some reason in golf, I never made a fool of myself. But in high school basketball, like people would come up to my mom like, wow, Matt, really, I was surprised
three
by his flagrants. Behavior out there. Yeah. A lot of technical fouls. But I was always chill in golf, but I loved it. I mean, I could never sleep before a round. But short game was kind of my thing. Shot making. Didn't have a range growing up. Didn't really get into the technical side, so I like the adventure.
Yeah.
Did you give it a stint?
No.
Playing professionally? No.
Well, I played 2 state opens.
How we do?
I've made money in my pro career, which is better than most people say.
Not a lot of people
like
say that.
400 and 450, I think. Expenses were down. Utah and Nevada Open. Hello. Made the cut in both.
Profitable as a professional.
I was a profitable professional.
One of the few professional golfers that has 100% cut made.
Exactly.
I mean, don't ever play another one.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Growing up, I mean, you obviously, I'm guessing, aspired to be a professional golfer, but what got you into coaching? Was that something that was always on your mind?
Every kid wants to be a professional golfer. And I think most of us kind of at some point realize, hey, maybe I'm not as good as I hoped. And that was probably me, maybe junior, senior in college. And I still hadn't figured it out yet, but I'm trying to raise money to get into Canadian Tour Q School and putting together these plans and find investors. And, you know, I should have known when nobody was jumping in to put a bunch of money that maybe that wasn't the right thing. And then coach comes along and says, hey, I think you'd be good at coaching. Why don't you be my assistant coach next year? And I was dating my wife, Catherine, at the time, who I hadn't sealed the deal yet. And so I'm like, okay, sounds good. She had one more year of college. And so I stayed after and I just fell in love with it right away. Yeah, I found myself bored practicing by myself, but loving working with the guys. And we got married the next year.
Congrats.
Sealed the deal. And after that 1 year of coaching at BYU, went to Washington for a year. Odie Vincent and Mary Lou Mulfer hired me to be the assistant there. And then I was there for 15 years as a head coach before coming here.
At age 26, by the way.
I was going to say, that happened fast.
Yeah.
I was young to be coaching kids up. Being in charge of them.
A lot of times when there's a coach change, it's because there's problems. And it wasn't the case at Washington. Odie had built an awesome program. It was on the rise, had good recruits coming in, good returning players. We'd had a nice season when I was the assistant. And so he decided to move on. And they shouldn't have probably hired me, but things were going well and I knew how it was working. So they said, okay, why not? And
that's awesome. And you had a really good career at Washington. James Lepp won the NCAA individual title at Kays Valley. I was actually there playing for SMU, I remember that. Shot 63 in some horrible weather.
Yeah.
And Lepper was special.
Yeah. Take us through some of the guys you coached at Washington now that we now see on the PGA Tour in professional golf.
First was Brock McKenzie. He was kind of the first superstar I coached, although I coached Troy Kelly as assistant
Troy
for
Kelly,
a year.
Yeah.
But Brock McKenzie, superstar, first team All-American, Walker Cup guy. I mean, I would have he was awesome. And then James Lepp came in. Alex Prue was actually in there while James Lepp was there. And Alex doesn't get mentioned a lot. He had some good years on the PGA Tour as well. James Lepp won the NCAA championship. And then in the 2006 class, we had Darren Wallace, who was a Canadian amateur champion, and then Nick Taylor and Joel Damon. So those guys had a great run. Richard Lee came in, who also spent years on the tour. We had C.T. Pan come after them, Carl Yuen, even some others like Trevor Simsby. I know I'm missing somebody, so this is the problem with making these lists, is I'm missing somebody.
When you got so many good players, it's hard to list them all.
Yeah, good problem to have.
I mean, that's pretty impressive up in Washington, which isn't the most ideal golf climate compared to what
Chris
we got
Williams.
Sitting right
Chris
here.
Chris Williams.
Chris Williams, there he was very good. World beater. Yes. World beater Chris Williams.
So Chris and Nick Taylor both won the Ben Hogan Award. And the McCormick Award. So they were number one in the world. And then C.T. Pan was number one in the world. He didn't win the award because Maverick McNealy and John Rahm were there too. But a good run.
You mentioned Joel Damon, who is a fan favorite. Give us a little insight to what Joel was like in college.
So this is, everyone likes to talk about the funny side of Joel. And it is funny, but you have to understand he and his mom were like this. Yeah. And she passed away when he was 17 years old. And he was just in a really hard time in life. He took that very, very hard, and still does, I think. But it was not a great time for Joel. And he was a great teammate. People, you know, make it sound like he was this problem. He was never a problem. He just couldn't, he didn't have much motivation at the time. He was a pleasant guy to be on the team with. Guys liked living with him, traveling with him. He played hard when he played, but he just wasn't there mentally and didn't want to do the schoolwork.
Yep. That's the thing. And you've had, like you said, Hogan Award winners, first team All-Americans, guys like that. And some have panned out and gone on the PGA Tour, had big careers. Some have not. Is there a surprise guy that maybe at the time you got him, you weren't like, oh, this is a program changing guy or this is a future PGA Tour world beater, but then did turn out to have a big run on the PGA Tour?
No, I think this is probably my problem as a coach. No, Joel was amazing. I mean, he was an elite recruit. This is what a coach is supposed to do. This coach is supposed to believe more in them than they believe in themselves. And that's one thing I do. I mean, I see PGA Tour in every kid I recruit. The question's probably the other way around. Like, which one did you see that should have been on the PGA Tour that didn't make it?
That was going to be another question.
Yeah, and there are those. And what I've found, and I say this to the guys, like, people say, oh, have something to fall back on, or if you don't make it. Like, people usually decide not to make it, you know? It gets like, Chris Williams is a great example. Chris Williams was as good as any amateur player you're going to ever have and won everything. And the truth is, he just didn't really like the life of a pro golfer. It's not all that great out there. It's pretty lonely. It's a lot of golf, and you lose a little bit of the childlike play of the game, and that just wasn't it for him, and that happens a lot.
Yeah, college golf, it's so different. Like, we're right here at y'all's facility right now, which we have an awesome video coming out touring this facility, and all your guys, when I showed up today, were eating lunch together. Then they went out and practiced together. They're all, they just hang out together. Pro golf, you're your own boss. Yeah. You travel around some nights, other guys have dinner plans, and you're all of a sudden all alone. You got to book your own travel. It's a much different world, and not everybody succeeds at it.
We have... Our team, my teams, it's a big part of it. I love teams. I mean, I love teams. I get excited just thinking about how a team works and who plays what role and how we communicate and how we, you know, have fun together and make each other better. Like, that's what I do. And I've often thought if I'm too much that way, because it's quite a shock when you leave this kind of culture where everyone's always together and helping each other out and cheering for each other and knows what's going on and has a friend to do it with all the time, to all on your own. So we've tried to create an environment here where even our alums come back and they always can feel that same thing. But it is hard. It's a massive transition. You go from being in this like really protected, awesome
you're
environment
in a bubble.
To
yeah.
Now everyone hates you and wants to kill you.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. But you've been here, this is your eighth season now at Arizona State. I mean, I believe math serves me right. 25 years basically as a coach of college golf. Well, the world of college sports has changed a lot recently with NIL.
Yeah.
How is it, what's the difference now from when you started to now with NIL being involved? How much different is it?
I think NIL is just a part of it. It's one of a handful of things that has changed it a lot. I think PGA Tour U has changed it a lot. You know, additional professional opportunities. Basically, the stakes are higher. Coaches are being paid a lot more. Athletes are being paid more. Universities care. They used to never care. You know, like, who cares what the golf team does? Well, you know what? It's actually kind of a big deal now, because everyone's going to watch the national championship and take pride in their university, whether they played well or didn't, and give each other crap at the office or on the golf course. So it just matters way more than it ever did. And that means you have to be a little more buttoned up. And I don't know. The kids, they all have more people involved, whether it's agents and coaches and parents. Like, everybody cares more, and there's a lot more to manage.
Is the recruiting more difficult now?
I don't think so, actually. In fact, if anything, they've made it easier because the rules, they've kind of cut it down. We used to recruit unlimited amount. Now they only let us recruit a certain number of days. I mean, recruiting, you got to know what you do. Like, at ASU, one of our problems is pretty much anywhere in the world, it sounds good to go to ASU, and it makes sense. Like, kids can look at it, yeah, that's a good fit for me, right?
There's not much to not like.
Kinda.
Especially for golf.
Good scenery everywhere around.
Yeah, there's some things that are attractive to 18 to 22-year-old young men.
I felt like at Washington, I had a set kind of niche, certain academic role niche, certain geographic profile, guys that wanted, you know, that didn't mind a little inclement weather and thought that was cool. Here, it's like, it's a great idea for everyone to come to ASU. So for us, we have to kind of be selective and careful not to try to recruit everybody all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a young kid on a recruiting trip, you come here and you come to this facility right here, the Thunderbirds, Phil and Amy Mickelson, the Triuses, everybody involved have put together here. I mean, how do you say no to this place?
Well, if they do, it's probably me screwing it up.
We'll take care of that.
When
for
it
you.
Comes to like the top ranked kids coming out of junior golf that all the big programs are fighting for, with the NIL now, does it take more than a scholarship? Like, do you need to sweeten the pot to get these top studs that are coming out?
It's starting to be that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got to add more?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, the real money to be made still is after. And personally, I mean, it's if you can get the money, great. And if everybody's giving it, great. But to me, it screams a little insecure. Like, if you really are confident that you're going to make it as a make it as a pro, you need to do everything you can in your selection to give yourself the very best opportunity to be successful. And an extra $20,000 here or there, that and making your choice based on that is dangerous. And I'd say the same about scholarship. You know, like 80% versus 50%. If you can afford it, you know, go whatever's going to give you the best chance to be successful afterward. And figure the money out later.
But it is a factor. Like, you it's see these top quarterbacks, and it's like, it basically becomes a bidding war. Like, oh, this school's offering me $4 million. I'm going to get three over here. Is it like that somewhat in golf now?
It is.
Yeah, which is crazy. And it's so crazy. Then you need a deep war chest. You got to have donors and people like that so you can go to battle to get those top kids.
Tell us a
different animal.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not, like, old yet, but I'm also not young. And you just got to be careful to not fall into the trap of hating it or thinking this is stupid or I don't want to do this. This isn't how it used to be. I mean, you have to stay with the time. So whether I like NIL or not, I have to love it, you know? And so, yeah, we got to go raise the money and we got to offer it and we got to make it happen. And that's just the reality.
All right, before we get back to our interview, a quick break to tell you, if you haven't done it yet, go check out our YouTube page. It's golf_subpar. We got some new content coming up at the ASU facility. We're going to have some more stuff coming out as the year goes on. So if you haven't yet, go to YouTube, subscribe, golf_subpar. And now back to our interview.
Talk to us a little bit about your team because you got some studs. I believe you got three in the top 20 of the world amateur rankings. Preston Summerhays, Winnie Ding, Luke Potter, Riggs. I mean, they're all, you got some studs on the team.
So I feel bad because we're forgetting one guy and he's not getting mentioned enough lately. And that's Josele Ballester. Josele is the European AM champ, has been a two-time All-American his first 2 years. Won a bunch of national championships in Spain, was a mega recruit for us, and he's been a top 20 amateur in the world. He is awesome, and he's just kind of, you know, Preston takes up a lot of the attention here because he's local and he's amazing. And now Ding came in, and Ding's setting records, and you know, the 6'5" Chinese guy that's with a different name that people have heard about but never seen, and just broke a record shooting 27 under for 54 holes. Like, don't forget about Josele Ballester. This guy's amazing. You mentioned Riggs and and Luke. Other European guy, Michael Mjaseth, is also top 60 player in the world. He was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year last year. We've had four straight Pac-12 Freshman of the Year.
Nice.
And I like our chances to make it five if Ding can keep it going.
I think you have a pretty good chance. You know, I'm kind of a gambling man. I think he's a slight favorite.
Yeah. So that's only six that I mentioned. You know, I don't want to go through everybody, but we have an awesome team.
But you travel five, and so you're going to have like a stud sitting at home. Is that sometimes tough on recruiting? Like these kids, you could go anywhere and easily make the top five traveling squad. You come here and like you're going to have to beat a top 70 kid in the country. You know, what's it take on a typical qualifier to make the team, to make the top five?
Yeah, we had a six-round qualifier at the start of the spring, six different courses. Tied for fifth was 14 under.
Mm. For fifth, five-man spot, yeah. 14
six
under.
Six rounds, yeah.
Ding was 29, Riggs was 28, and then there was 10 strokes to Preston at 18. So that's kind of typical for us. Yesterday we had a qualifying, so there was four guys exempt, three guys playing for one spot, and they're all really good players. And in typical fashion, it's up and down, and then they finally get to the final 54th hole. It's dark at Greyhawk, and sure enough, there's one guy, if he makes this birdie, and this guy makes his par, and this guy misses his par, they all tie. So the lip out for birdie, the make for par, the lip out for par, and then we have a two-man tie with one guy, one behind. I'm not giving names. It's dark. Like, okay, I got to get names on a flight. I got UNLV saying, hey, I need your roster. What do we do? Like, guys, you guys, can you see enough to play one more hole? They're like, yeah, that's fine. Let's do it right now. So we go play number 10, play 10 at Greyhawk. Talon, actually, they hit both iron shots that look like they took off good, but we can't see them. They get up there, one's like this, one's about 15 feet past, but right on the line, and they don't know who's who. Walk up there, you know, Luke sees his ball like this, like, yes, yes, you know, and the other guy just misses his button. It seems like it happens every time. You guys were probably in those times.
Oh, the four or five battles were great. They weren't 14 under, though.
I was going to say, it's a good thing for you to have, it's so competitive, where, I mean, a lot of schools, you're searching for that fifth guy here. You've got six, seven, eight guys that can fit into that lineup at any time.
Yeah, it's not always that way, but it has been. And yeah, hopefully those five bring it every tournament too.
Well, we wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. I want you to bring home that national title. But before we let you go, we do have to get to the E9. This might be a little modified E9.
Yeah, this is the modified scramble. We normally do E9. I got a little thing I like to do with the caddies.
Don't treat me with the kid gloves. Come on, I mean, I can take it. Don't you guys see me? You think, oh, this guy's like a religious conservative. Like, no, man, give it to me. I'm ready.
Who would win in a fight out of your whole team if there was just a bare knuckle brawl?
I wouldn't want to mess with Jose Le Ballester. I mean, he's the strongest, most athletic, but Gabe Salvanera's got the crazy eyes when he gets a little angry, and I'd also be afraid of him, and he likes to shoot guns.
Who's the first guy to go down?
Preston,
you soft.
There we go. So he would give you some. This will make its way around the team.
We were going through him with nicknames, I believe, on our show, and Ruthless P was one of the possible ones. Apparently, that's out.
Ruthless. He's looking like a Calvin Klein model these days, too, man. That kid, he's changing that physique.
We always talk about trying to be a blue collar team, and everyone's like, how can we be blue collar with Scottsdale boy over here? You know, silver leaf guy. So Preston takes a lot of credit. We played football in Hawaii. The first year was like, Nobody touches Preston. He's going to be really upset if he hears this.
This is great. Well, he's got it.
By the way, when we walked in today, he was, God bless him, cleaning up the eating area.
He had to be prodded a little bit. That might have been scripted a little bit.
There's
some coaching that happens there.
Well, he left his stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't see that part. He's used to Barb cleaning up.
Yeah,
I just saw Luke leaving his Otter Pops everywhere. God bless him. All right. That was just off the top, just since you said you didn't want the kid gloves. I feel like a brawl question is good.
You're a player's coach. I mean, you're super nice. I'm guessing there's some tough love there. But throughout your career, where would you rank you guys sucking suck as the meanest thing you've ever said to a team?
That's harsh, coach.
So
that's harsh, bud.
You guys sucking suck? That's the thing. When you don't cuss a lot, when you do, I don't get that angry. But when you do, and Mason Anderson would say you do not want to see the wrath of Thurms. That's what it's called, the wrath of Thurms. It comes out maybe twice a year, and you do not want to be on the other side of that.
Is that where the name, I'm sure you're aware of it, Thurnado?
Have you heard that before? Maybe I just made that up right now.
Maybe I came up with that.
I don't mind, you know, like, I am a nice coach, and we have a lot of fun, but any coach needs to have a little bit of fear factor that, you know, they need to know that you could lose it at any second.
Yeah.
You guys Zach suck and Bixler. Suck. That'll take care
Ooh,
of
I
that.
I remember that name.
Do you remember Zach Bixler? So we were one year, we're in Missouri, and he's like, you know what, coach? I think what the team really needs is, like, you just need to go off on us sometime. Like, really, like, let us have it. Like, get pissed. I'm like, okay, I can do that if that's what you want. He was kind of our captain. And so we have a bad day, and we're in the van afterward, and I go off, right? And he lost his crap. He starts yelling at me, and we are yelling at the top of our lungs at each other, and he's like, he wasn't joking around. Like, and Garrett Clegg will still see, he's the Utah coach, he would say that was the most awkward van ride in the history of my life, and nobody said anything for hours. I'm like, Bix, dude, what happened? Like, you told me I should do this, so I do it, and you just, you know, and then and he goes, yeah, I don't know, man, I'm sorry, I just lost it.
Got caught up in the moment,
thanks,
guys.
Buddy.
Sorry.
So I do have a little bit of it in me.
What's the most severe disciplinary punishment you've ever doled out to a player?
Man, I think there's a stare. There's a stare that comes from me that you don't want. That's worse than any, you know, stadium stares you can run. I give you a lot of space, but when you break the trust, you miss tournaments or you get cut from the team. So. I'm not a stadium guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't do that.
Yeah, you don't have like the death workouts. Like we used to have one. Basically, it didn't end until you threw up, and it just ended with these barrel rolls that make you throw up no matter what.
I don't see all that's going to do is make them more angry.
Yeah, it made me. Yeah,
I like you know.
Ruined you.
Think about your mom. Like what's the worst thing? Like your dad might you know spank you or ground you or do this, but you know so what, right? Your mom when she says, "Son, I'm so disappointed in you."
Disappointed.
Like, is there anything worse of a punishment than your mother being disappointed in you. I try to appeal to that emotional level.
Yeah, disappointment's a tough word.
I really can't believe that we're having to have this conversation right now.
Yeah, I've had that one a few times.
It's not good.
Still haven't gotten
heard
over
that
it.
Many a times.
It hurts, right?
Yeah, it does.
It cuts deep. All right, my next one. Everyone that knows you talks about how highly competitive you are.
Really?
And you're not the greatest loser, which if you talk to Charles Barkley says, you show me someone that's a good loser, I'll show you a loser.
Okay.
So I'm okay with this.
Charles is smart.
Okay. I don't know where he's going with this.
What would you say is the worst temper tantrum you've ever seen thrown at Washington National?
Well, Richard Lee had we were doing this par five drill, and he threw his three wood into the lake. And Richard Lee's a saint. So I'm not even talking about my temper tantrum. I'll get to that. But Richard Lee, we were doing this par five, and he finally broke. And he throws it in the middle of this big lake. And it's cold. It's like February in Washington. And it's like he extended, and as it left, he started walking toward the lake. And he's taking off his clothes as he's walking towards the lake. And he's down in his underwear, and he just doesn't even break stride. Just walks straight into the lake, swims out, three woods floating in the lake, and comes back. So that was a great one.
That's beautiful.
That's
my awesome. One, whoever's bringing this up is probably talking about the time when I chunked it in the creek about 100 yards out on hole 15. And I threw my wedge. Is that what we're talking about?
No, but keep going.
This is why it's always fun. We got more in mind.
I threw my wedge in the creek, and I'm like, you go in there too. And that's probably what I thought they were talking about.
The one I was told to ask about was the putting contest with Joe Panzeri.
Was it the Stone of Shame?
He said you tomahawked your putter into the bushes.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. So you've thrown a three wood, you got guys throwing three woods into waters, your putter's in the bushes.
You got so many that know which one to pick, the tornado.
Can I tell you a Joe Panzeri story?
Yes.
Okay, so we're out practicing one day, and these guys it was a long drive, they'd stop and get food on the way. So we had a barbecue out there, and Zach, they all stop, and they all could have time to get their stuff, right? So Zach had bought like a quart of chocolate milk, and it's sitting off the side of the green right here, and there's a bunker over here with the green in the middle. Joe is in the bunker. No, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Joe Panzeri bought the milk and is in the bunker. Zach is over here walking by. He goes, hey, Joe, can I have some of your chocolate milk? No, you could have bought your own. Okay. Takes the chocolate milk. Well, he's 30 yards away, opens it up, pours it out, and looks at him. He's like, if I can't have any, you're not having any either. And Joe lost it. And they started fighting. They end up in the bunker. They're like punching each other, rolling around in the bunker. And anyway, about 2 minutes in, they just start laughing, which is what they beautiful. Always did.
Sleaze, you don't mess with Sleaze's chocolate milk.
Dog. No, I'm telling you,
Sleaze is a big chocolate milk
knuckles,
guy.
Knuckles come out, you start messing with a dude's chocolate milk. I don't blame him.
So I get a little upset.
There's always like one it's good okay. fight no, story with coaches where players get into fights, you know what I mean? We had Scheffler and Hostler, when we talked to John Fields, they had a near come to blows.
I think it's a lost art. I mean, all these problems we're having, kids can't, I mean, back in the day, you just fight it out.
And then you're over it.
And it's over. And nobody really hurts each other too bad. And
yeah, they're golfers, not UFC fighters.
Yeah, a couple of slaps, like, all right, dude, what do we
do? We had one at Mesa Country Club where, you know, Alex Del Rey constantly chipping on Mason Anderson. Alex has a mouth, and he just runs it and runs it. And it's fun, but Mason had had enough. And then finally, I mean, right in front of the clubhouse, Mason runs over, grabs Alex, takes him, and just slams him on the ground. And they're rolling around, and like, this is at practice.
Yeah.
So but that, you know, those guys got along great after that. They were best friends.
A little that's healthy, too, by the way. It's like brother.
I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but that actually is important.
May have to go into Mesa Pro Shop and be like, boys.
They know. They know.
Sorry about the brawl.
They know.
They've seen worse out there.
If you're going to do it anywhere, Mesa's the spot to do it. They don't only condone that. They encourage that sort of behavior. All right, I'll give you one. Let's go current players on this one. Most likely to slide into the DMs of a female celebrity. Shoot a shot.
Well, it's for sure Luke Potter.
Yeah, that's what I reckon.
I mean, you
might have
the
a
answer.
Shot, by the way.
Yeah. He's got some charm.
Yeah, he's got that vibe, that little SoCal vibe about him.
I'll stay on that same kind of area there. I was going to, because Joel Damon, who one of your most famous guys you've coached, he's gone to a whole other level. Like, we just played with him at Phoenix Open when I was caddying for Taylor Montgomery. I mean, people love him. And it's all because of, I mean, he's got a great personality, but Netflix Full Swing has changed his life. Of your guys right now, who do you think would be the biggest star on Netflix?
I think I think Luke would be.
Luke's just a star.
He just loves to be, he's really good in front of the camera. You know, we're doing stuff on our Instagram all the time, and a lot of times it takes multiple takes with guys, and they all do pretty well, but Luke, you just turn the camera on, and he just syrup comes out of his mouth, and he's always got the right thing to say, some catchy little thing, and he's...
All right, well, coach him.
We're going to have to go find him after this.
Coach him really well so he has a long professional career, because we need these jobs.
Okay. Yeah, chase it for a decade or two.
Yeah,
you know, then you can have it. There's no rush. This type of stuff's always just sitting around for you. I'll give you one since we've done kind of like the vanities. Oh, here's a real golf one. 10-footer, national championship on the line. Make you win, miss, you lose. Which guy on your team do you think wants that putt the most?
Preston wants that putt.
Watch him make one out here, actually. Yeah, a similar situation.
Yeah, and he's done that many times. We had an awesome, you know, Mason made a couple putts. Cameron Sisk in our match against Oklahoma in the semifinals at the NCAAs a couple years ago had about a 15-footer on 10 in a playoff. One of the best putts I've ever seen. That was awesome. Yeah, I think Preston wants it.
Like, wants it.
He wants that
putt. Some people say they want it. Not a lot of people actually want it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
All right, my last one. Okay, this is going deep here.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here we go. Sleaze and I are both head coaches. Big time national head coaches.
I like that.
Which
I like
one of
going.
Us Keep gets going. Investigated by the NCAA for violations first?
If it ain't me, I'm gonna be pissed. Well, I want to win.
Well, the thing is, like, there's violations happening all the time out there.
Yeah, but I want to be on ESPN.
The question is, which one of you is a better coach? Because whoever's ranked higher is the one that people are gonna turn in. Like, if you suck, no one's gonna care that you're breaking the rules.
All right, so it's me.
I would frame his program somehow. If they ever became a threat, I'd launch some sort of plant in there and then make an anonymous phone call, bam.
We need guys penalty. Like you guys coaching, so hopefully you'll think about it.
I don't know that the world does.
Yeah.
I really don't think. A lot of things are in need. Us coaching college kids, probably not it. But I appreciate that.
I think you're wrong, by the way.
For your time, dude.
Yeah, this was
awesome.
You
got a lot going on. This is a special look inside y'all's facility.
And for everyone out there that's listening, please go check out the YouTube video because we do an awesome tour of the facility here at Arizona State. It's fantastic. Really cool stuff. Thank you so much for letting us come in and crash your day.
Thanks a lot for coming, guys.
We got eligibility now that NIL's back.
There is nobody more entertaining to play golf with than you two. So thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Appreciate it. Thank you, Coach.
All right. That was Coach Matt Thurman joining us on Golf Subpar. Man, that was so much fun going down there, hanging out with those guys, Sleaze, getting to see the team interact. By the way, how about our man Winnie Ding? 27 under, three rounds, three.
Yeah. What is he, 18? 18 years old. If you got a chance to go out and watch Winnie Ding play, do it now. Otherwise, you're going to have to, that's the only time you're going to get to see him for free because that's coming soon. And he's not the only guy you could say that about on Arizona State. They got some dudes on that thing. That's a testament to Matt Thurman, program he's built. He did it in Washington first, which is a harder place to do it from, harder place to recruit from. Done the same thing at Arizona State. But, dude, it got me wanting to go back to school and be a doctor or a lawyer or some shit because that unless you come out and you start playing on, like, Ryder Cup teams, you're not going to get treated better than what those kids have it right now at ASU. I was actually talking with one of them, won't name any names. Like, dude, he's like, a lot of these kids turn pro early. I was like, I don't want to leave. This is the greatest place of all time. I'm like, yeah, it legitimately is.
Yeah, Scottsdale, beautiful practice facility. I mean, What could go better?
Best tournaments awesome. In the country. I mean, facilities are disgusting. Like, it's nice. It's all handled for you. Don't have to pay for anything. Pretty good.
But a huge shout out to Papago, the Trias family, Mickelson family for everything they've done for that program. It's really cool to see. That was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed going down there, seeing that practice facility. Got really jealous, but you know they can't build places like that without families like the Triases and the Mickelsons. Really cool to see, but enjoy sitting down with Coach Matt Thurman. He's got a squad, man. If they don't win the national championship soon, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, they got. I mean, they're loaded with talent. They're not the only team in the country, but just shout out to him for letting us come down there, get a look inside. You know what those guys do on a daily basis: their facilities, their locker room, all the stuff. They got some really big name players, and it's a great that program just in general, man. You look at the alumni that are all on the wall, the guys that have gone on to win major championships, Ryder Cups and things like that. And like they all stay connected to that program. And I think that's a testament to not only Matt Thurman, the people that were there before him as well. They're all proud Sun Devils, man. Hell of a program if you're a young kid and you got the options.
I agree with you. We should be getting some of this NIL money, I feel like, for
without question.
For promoting this thing.
Without question. We'll dabble. We'll take a little piece.
All right. Well, let's get to the Players' Championship. Massive $25 million purse. Are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. Hmm. I have nothing to say about this tournament anymore since your boy Tom Hoagie
just ruined my life, guts out.
Breaking my course record.
He's a killer, dude. That's a frog. Another killer. Another great program.
Little 62, soft, easy pins, whatever. It doesn't matter. Right. Let's get on to it, though. But how do you not take – I know the odds suck.
That's the only reason how. That's the only reason how is because he's 5.5 to 1, but I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, I mean
– yeah.
It's a golf course that is perfect for him. He's the defending champion. He just came off a dominating win. How do you not take him again?
It has a tee box, and it has a green with a hole in it. And Scotty's playing. So chances are he's the best guy there. But yeah, I mean, he's going off 5.5 to 1. I mean, legitimately, those are like prime Tiger odds. But I mean, point to a guy that's going to beat him if he looks half of what he looked like at Bay Hill. So I don't blame you. 5.5 to 1, not a lot of juice on that. But I like it. I'm going to give you one with a little more juice if you're looking for a bigger return. This is a little ways down for our favorites, but I just like what I see right now. He's going off at 30 to 1, Colt. He's got a T13, T2, T4. In his last three starts, ball striking seems to be back where he was pre-injury when he was one of the best in the world. Putter looks miles better. You know what I'm talking about. Will Zalatoris, 30 to 1.
Playing okay, nice. Yeah, he's playing awesome.
Quickly.
I mean, it seems like the bigger the stage, the better he plays. Played great at the Genesis, played great at Bay Hill. Your man, Wyndham Clark, by the way, loves these signature events. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
He is just printing money in these things. As far as my dark horse goes, this guy says it's his favorite course on tour, which kind of surprises me because he hits bombs, but he's got a lot of swag. He's going to win soon. He's one of the fan favorites. He's one of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
60 to 1,
preach,
Minwoo Lee.
Preach it. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to say anything. He's my new favorite
you
player.
Like that one?
He's my new favorite player on tour that I don't call my son. You know, that we're not related blood-wise, although we might be. I think if we did a little 23andMe, I love the kid. I am surprised, too, that he said that's his favorite golf course. Like, he sends it. It's like, yeah. You don't really get to do it around there. But I don't care. I love the kid. I hope he wins soon. He's going to be a megastar. All right. On a similar vein, 50 to 1 from the same country of origin here. We got a 6th place at Pebble. Played pretty damn nice. 9th at the Genesis. Favorite guy to watch chip and putt on the PGA Tour. Give me Jason Day. I feel like we're kind of due, you know?
I mean, he's a past champion.
Yeah.
He ruined my dreams the one year I actually was playing well there. But, he loves the golf course. Don't hate it at all. It's going to be a hell of a week. Massive back-to-back weeks between API, Players' Championship. We're getting very, very close to the Masters, first major of the year. I can't wait. But before that, we have 2 more days of the biggest major championship in the world, the Oxford Pro-Am out here at Shadow Creek. Got 2 more days left, Sleaze, which means also 2 more nights in Vegas. I'm terrified, but I'm going to battle through it.
If I don't see you again, I'm going to split all your shit with Natalie. I'm going to take the good stuff. I'll give her the rest, but just to let you know, I'm taking all the stuff of value. Anything of value is mine, but give them hell up there. Don't sully the brand. Live up to the hype and go compete, bud. Go compete your ass off, you know?
I'm going to do it, my man. State. I appreciate it. Really, really enjoyed this week a lot. Shout out to Oxford Pro-Am once again for this great week. Shadow Creek, nothing better. Even though Monty's here, Taylor had to caddy for the guy. I mean, God damn how life has changed. Caddying for Taylor Montgomery to now being here at Shadow Creek. Ugh. Life comes at you fast, please.
Super quick. One too long ago, you might have had Kurt Kitayama loop for you out there. Now things change, Mox. You know what I mean? We're stuck and
special,
they keep moving on.
It's there's nothing better than this place right here. I'm going to enjoy every minute of it, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode a lot. Make sure you go check out our YouTube page, Golf Subpar. Make sure you watch the video, behind-the-scenes look at the Arizona State facility. It is incredible, and we're going to talk to you on next week's Subpar.